WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A second man faces up to 20 years in prison for the beating of DeAndre Harris last August. As the NRA meets in Dallas, Democratic lawmakers in Virginia hold their first task force. On gun safety this weekend. And for the first time, the number of lobbyists in Virginia politics has topped 1,000. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, May 4th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A second person has been convicted in the beating of a black man who was left severely injured the day of a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Alex Ramos of Georgia was found guilty of malicious wounding in the August 12th beating of DeAndre Harris. Ramos faces 5 to 20 years in prison. The attack in a parking garage by a group of men was captured in photos and videos widely shared online. Prosecutors said Ramos hit Harris in the back of the head and bragged about the attack on Facebook. Ramos's conviction follows that of an Arkansas man earlier this week on the same charge. Two more men have been charged in connection with the attack and are awaiting trial. After the high school shooting in Parkland, Florida, Democratic lawmakers in Virginia formed a task force on gun safety. As Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, their first community meeting is in Richmond this weekend.
Democrats in Virginia's House of Delegates formed the Safe Virginia Initiative after Speaker of the House, Republican Kirk Cox, announced his bipartisan committee on school safety would not consider gun reforms. Delegate Eileen Fillercorn, co-chair of the Democrats group, says they'll be setting up town halls and roundtable meetings across the state, at least one a month, from now through October.
Some will be urban, suburban settings, some in Northern Virginia, some in Richmond, some all over in Southwest. And our goal is to, you know, address gun violence prevention, specifically gun safety legislation.
The first of those public meetings is in Richmond this Saturday. It will be from 10 to noon at Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School. Members of city council and school board plan to attend. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Also, the Faculty Senate at Virginia's largest university has adopted a resolution seeking disclosure of the school's donor agreements after revelations that some of those agreements gave the conservative Charles Koch Foundation a say in the hiring of professors. The Senate at George Mason University has for years been debating academic independence and raising questions about the school's arrangements with the foundation, which donates millions of dollars annually to Mason. Last week, the school released those agreements under a Freedom of Information Act request. The documents show the Koch Foundation enjoyed the right to appoint members of a selection committee that could recommend professors for appointment at the Mercatus Center, a free market think tank at Mason. A university spokesman said Mason President Angel Cabrera is eager to work with the Senate. For students graduating high school this spring, getting into Virginia's elite colleges and universities is a challenge. That's because of financial incentives that have administrators looking outside the Commonwealth, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When Sasha Bernack was a high school senior in Arlington, he wanted to go to the College of William and Mary, but getting in was very competitive. About one-third of the students there are from out of state. That's the highest percentage of out-of-state students in Virginia. It's also a way for William & Mary to make more money than it would by accepting students like him, who pay far less than out-of-state students.
From my perspective and from, I feel like, a lot of people's perspective, school shouldn't be a money-making scheme. It should be about educating the next generation.
Back in 2004, Virginia set a cap on the number of out-of-state students that could be accepted, 25%. But that doesn't apply to William & Mary, which had 34% of out-of-state students at the time. It got to keep that percentage, which was frozen in place. Peter Blake, the State Council of Higher Education, says another possible approach would be to look at enrollment projections and set a number of students based on actual demand.
If an institution meets the enrollment projections as approved by CHEV for in-state students, then they can enroll more out-of-state students. It might wreck the percentage, but it would still allow for substantial numbers of more Virginia students to enroll in Virginia.
For now, those percentages are frozen in place. But one thing that is not frozen is the cost of tuition. In the last 5 years, Virginia schools' tuition has increased 21%. I'm Michael Pope.
Negotiations between the U.S. and China began Thursday with the specter of a trade war in the background, but Bloomberg reports China has already stopped buying any soybeans from the United States. And as WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports, that could have a serious impact in Virginia.
The USDA says China has canceled 63 million metric tons of U.S. soybean purchases for the marketing year that ends August 31st.
Uncommon.
Tony Banks, Virginia Farm Bureau Federation.
The timing may have something to do with the negotiations that are occurring this week in China.
But he says the stakes are high, and it's Virginia's biggest export crop.
The soybean exports account for $600 million, and approximately 62% of that goes to China.
Farmers normally begin planting now, but it is a risk when their biggest customer may not be buying. Before all this, soybeans were on track for their best year ever in Virginia, passing corn in total acreage for the first time. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
The number of lobbyists in Virginia politics has topped 1,000 for the first time. The Virginia Public Access Project released data on Thursday showing that there were 1,014 lobbyists in the most recent registration period. VPAP counted the number of lobbyists working for companies and organizations. The total number of lobbyists has grown steadily since the Great Recession. During the recession, there were only 860 registered lobbyists. Finally, this year marks the 15th annual Virginia Folklife Apprenticeship Showcase, a free public event for the whole family. This year's showcase promises a festive adventure through the cultural landscape of Virginia. Lilia Fukin reports.
When you hear the term Virginia folklife, what comes to mind? Fiddles, banjos, and apple pie? Well, that's definitely part of it, but there's oh so much more. Take, for example, Persian drumming. And gospel singing.
Listen, I've worked for the rich, and I live with the poor. I've seen a few heartaches, and if I keep on living, I'll see.
And Sephardic Jewish ballads. This year's Virginia Folklife Apprenticeship Showcase features all these musicians and more. The state of Virginia is home to a dizzying diversity of cultures, and each year, the Virginia Folklife Program pairs master artists with apprentices for 9 months to pass traditional skills on to a new generation. At the end of the apprenticeship, all that talent gathers to perform on stage at the Apprenticeship Showcase. You can catch this year's showcase on Sunday, May 6th at James Monroe's Highland, and as always, admission is free. Mongolian contortionists will bend your mind. Traditional logsmiths and old-time banjo makers will demonstrate their artistry. And moonshine distillers straight from Franklin County, the moonshine capital of the world, will show off their still skills. Among the greatest highlights of the showcase is the food. Ever seen 125 gallons of real Brunswick stew? Master cooks will be preparing Argentine empanadas, Turkish-style baklava, hefty plates of soul food, and of course, fried apple pies. Virginia's master fried apple pie maker, Frances Davis, says that her customers from all walks of life find something special in her pies, a link between the past and the present.
It's tradition. You know, they remember the taste that grandma used to fix. And
and that's it. You know, the people like the old-timey cooking, and they don't want to give that up. There's a lot of love put into making the pies. Their favorite part is the seeing the smiles on the people's face, and them talking about their history and about their grandparents and how they grew up.
And really, that's what the whole showcase is all about, celebrating our differences and discovering common ground. For more information, visit virginiafolklife.org. For Virginia Humanities, I'm Lilia Fukin.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday, and may the 4th be with you.